Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Once a year for jobs well done in the industry, right? Like anything, well recorded, well engineered, well sung, best record, you know. And I think it's a bit odd when you're doing spiritual things and you're being awarded for being, he's the most spiritual. But anyway, it's another conversation. The industry had awards, and that very first year we were there, we were nominated for Rock Album of the Year, which was quite a nice one to be nominated for, because we weren't pop or the most gospely or churchy. It was a rock thing.
Mm.
And so we went to this award ceremony just for the hell of it, because we thought, well, we're in America, why not? Yeah. And so you can imagine our surprise when we actually won the thing. And we walked up on stage with this glittering ceremony with all these major stars. And we walk up, and I was meant to talk because I'm the singer, right? But Daryl, the drummer, he's from the Bluff, and you don't mess with the Bluff. He grabs the mic and blurts out to this very, very stunned American audience, "We're from Durban, and South Africa's taking over the world. It's going to be amazing."
No.
It was awesome. Daryl rules.
I think, and I'm sure, obviously the South Africans in the audience, you know, they must have had a good laugh.
They all went, "Oh my God."
That's not on YouTube, eh? Thank goodness.
I hope not.
And do you still speak to him?
Yeah, we see he's still in the band. He always laughs at it every time.
So who still lives in Nashville? Because one of the members now live in Canada as well. And they got
So Daryl eventually married a Canadian photographer. He lives in Canada, and he's freezing 9/10 of the year, this deep in snow. And then the bass player, Daniel, who we took on just before the third record, he's actually a Capetonian guy. And his dad is the lead singer from Hawk. Remember that band, Hawk?
Mm.
Dave Ornelas. I never knew about him until later, but apparently Hawk was a big deal in the 70s, and just the first band that did all this cross-cultural stuff, amazing. And Daniel is his son, and he stayed in Nashville with his wife and kids. And so there's three of us in three different continents now. You know.
We're going to chat about the decision that you had to make to come back to South Africa. You brought out a solo, one album, huh?
Two.
Yeah. You haven't been back for so long, that's why. But John came back to South Africa, and I remember he launched his a solo album, and I was there on the night, and I've still got the CD here. Let me just. It says, "Barney, you might actually like this one," from John. It's the CD come out. Was this the first one?
Yeah.
And it's an amazing album, and
radio
sort of got behind it, but I expected radio stations to really go for it because it was a brilliant album.
But that's the guy from
363. Yeah, he's from 363, and they're famous. So he has to pay his dues again in South Africa. So we're going to talk about the moment when you guys decided to split up, and we'll just take a sort of a break, and you came back to South Africa in just a mo. One of your favorite South African bands, Evoid, now. Why?
Yes. In 1985, this particular song came out. Am I right? Taxi Man. And it was included on one of the Pop Shop compilation records.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
With lovely ladies on the cover.
No, that's Springbok.
You got those as well.
No. This was the Pop Shop ones, and it was a red one, and it had whatever the Culture Club song was, and it had this song on it. And I just loved the song. I didn't really even know as a young fan that they were even South African. I just loved the song.
Because it had a nice crossover sound, you know what I mean?
This song and Shadows and that whole first record. To me, this is just a very, very awesome song.
Well, they were amazing when they came to South Africa. They did the Barnyard Tour of South Africa. And it took us about, I think, 20 years to get the boys back. And they went on that stage and, wow, man. Okay, they didn't wear the makeup and the stuff. They had suits on. But amazing. So, as you said, when you heard that song for the first time, it was, if you listen to that whole album, all the greatest hits on that album, that song stood out.
To this day, I mean, it still sounds as fresh as it did. It's such an original sounding idea. I wish they'd gone so much further than they could have, but it was a bad time.
They went to the UK,
yeah,
and there wasn't a market for that kind of music, so they moved there. They couldn't actually come back again. So, and they're doing very well there. I don't think they're still involved with music, but lecturers and things like that, and kids, amazing. Okay, so you guys decided. I mean, how many albums did you release as 363 before you decided?
Enough now. We finally ended up with six. And the fourth one was quite a big hit. And there were two more. And the last one was the last album part of our record deal. And the record label was saying to us, "So do you want to re-sign with us?" And at that point, I knew I needed a break. So I said no. And then as soon as the record came out, they just literally dropped it off at the record store, like with the motor still running, opened the boot, shoved the CDs at the door and drove off. And this album sank like a stone. And it's a pity because we were proud of that last record. And then there was this long break. And here we are.
So what happened as well, the spiritual side of the band. And there must have been a stage in your life where you just sat down one night and said, I don't know, am I doing the right thing? Am I just following the trend or following people around? I don't know who I am anymore because of the fame and every night on the road. And if you want to, I know it's personal, but, I think a lot of people would like to hear your side of the story.
No, totally. The truth is, the difference between the Christian music scene and the mainstream scene is that the mainstream thing, you can do it. If you sign to a big label, you do a record and a major tour that lasts 18 months, maybe 2 years. And then you take a 2-year break to write the next thing and just become human again. But the Christian thing never really ends. It's a continuous cycle that never stops. I mean, there's certain times of the year you tour and not tour, but generally you're always on the road. And then you add wives and marriages and kids to that. Mm-hmm. And before long, you don't know who you are. And we spent years and years in airports and bus terminals. And, they've got those big tour buses. It was comfy, but it was, you're still in hotels and you're on the road. You don't know, and you're in a foreign country all the time. And it messes with your psyche a bit. You have to be a certain kind of guy to just go and be a road dog. And we became road dogs for a long time. But there was a time where I just needed, for a bunch of reasons, not just the music thing, I just needed to take some time off, sabbatical,
Yeah.
So I, 2007, at the end of 07, maybe start of 08, I said, hey, let's take some time out. And I thought maybe a year or so just to figure it out. And suddenly it was 7 years later.
But you came back to Durban.
Yeah, I came back to Durban because I had two kids at the time and they were very young and it was time just to make some decisions about them and the way I wanted to raise them. And I felt strongly about coming back here. And I'd get these funny looks like, you came back to South Africa? Why would you do that? Because at that stage, things were starting to look a bit funky. Not as much as they are now. And it was people who had left were saying, why would you go back? But we know why. This place is incredible. And we came back and we were very happy to be back. And here we are. And I moved back to Durban and kids are at school and living the dream.
So last year, when was it? April, May.
Yes.
You guys got together and had a little jam.
Yes.
And you know how it goes. The bug came back and bit you. And how was that? You did a couple of shows in South Africa, but was that just a sort of a fun thing? Guys, let's go and jam a little bit. And
no, you know what? It's actually a funny story. I realized in 2013, we'd never actually formally broken up. We never once ever said, hey, 363 fans, it's officially over. We just kind of stopped and did something and then didn't do something. And it was just this petering out. And then I did some solo records and had a good time producing other people. But 2013 came around and I thought, actually, 363 was not so bad. And the legacy we had and these six records and a fair amount of radio play and these things we achieved in foreign countries, it was quite a story. And I was a bit frustrated also with the fact that the mainstream scene music industry here continually seemed to exclude 363 from the story of South African music. Because we always, those are the Christian guys. Our success wasn't legitimate, I remember at some festival doing a solo thing, and another South African band who I won't mention had said to me, your success wasn't real. You were just playing to Christians. Nothing of what you ever did or achieve was really legitimate because you were playing to the choir. And that was quite hard to take because we had sweated blood for that thing, Success in any genre is success, no matter if it's Christian or Islamic or Jewish or gay or straight. Success is success. Mm. 200,000 albums sold to Americans is 200,000 Americans. Doesn't matter what religious thing they are. That's still a lot of people, So it was a bit of a kick in the teeth. And I thought, let's remind ourselves what Tree was for the first time in a long time. And the guys agreed, and the plan was to come out last year. It's actually, tonight, a year ago, we did these shows. That's right. And it was meant to be a final wrap-up, put a bow on the box. And
a year later.
A year later, and then we did the first rehearsal, and we said to ourselves, ooh, there's something still alive here. Maybe the full stop we're putting is actually a comma.
But, I mean, look at the Rolling Stones. They've been going for about 100 years now. Now they're doing another tour.
Yeah.
I mean, AC/DC is still touring. You got Black Sabbath still touring. So, and also they, these bands take a break because, as you said, you got kids.
Yeah.
You want to look after them. They have to go to school. Mm. You have to drive. I mean, David Beckham driving his kids to school. He's the Uber dad.
Yeah.
And also, at least your kids one day, how old are they now?
My son is 12 now, a 9-year-old girl, you know.
And you spent a lot of time with him. Those are important, you know, 7, yeah. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Absolutely.
You know, dad was there for them, and they'll remember that, you know, when they grow.
I hope so.
But now dad's going away again. No, you must leave when they're 18.
Now they can come with me and carry my guitars.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to take a bit of a break. Have you got your guitar ready there? You're going to do an Erasure song for us. Looking forward to that. And still to come, AC/DC.
Yes.
Who Made Who, one of your songs that you asked me to play. So don't go away, we are until midnight. My in-studio guest, John Ellis. Stay there.
Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jack Aran.